verifying it.
Welcome.
The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
That's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Ooh, big word bonus.
Don't be a jerk, Lloyd. Trying to explain to everybody here what Wordle is.
I don't know if I need to intervene, get involved, and get you to rehab on this.
Three straight days. I've only done it for a little bit. My wife got me into it so that she can have another of a long list of
things. Get those nerds! Nerds! Nerds!
I feel like this is something usually you complain about, not get involved with.
I did, right? Until I actually did it. And now it's a long list of things my wife is better than me at. And I think she enjoys that, so she got me hooked on it.
Okay, so the game is called Mortal.
Wordle. Stop it.
Mortal.
Don't be a jerk.
It's called Nerdle.
That would have been a four-letter word.
Yeah.
You're looking for a five-letter word.
Oh, I'm thinking of a lot of words.
So, okay, this is my first introduction to
it. I'm not going to explain this.
Because I don't hang around with too many Wordle-like folks. I'm a little bit surprised at this.
All you have to do is look on Twitter. Everybody's doing it.
The last thing I want to do is what everybody's doing
Lloyd,
on Twitter.
Come on. You got to admit this thing's taken off.
I got to say, though, you eliminate all the cuss words. What do you got?
Well, they're five-letter words.
I know.
Five-letter words, yeah.
And so there's not a lot of
eliminate all your cuss words. What do you got, Scotty?
Well, I can think of a few five-letter words.
Well, you did. You came up with today's word.
Yeah.
Do you want to say it?
No, because everybody has the same word. So if I say it, it's like the day after the Avengers movie comes out. You're like, Iron Man died. Like, you would get completely roasted.
Yeah.
Can we give a hint?
Yeah, we could. It's used in baking.
Yeah.
Also,
that's what I don't get. Like, you don't get any hints on these words. You just have to figure it out by throwing a word out there.
Yeah, you throw out a word, and then they're like, okay, you got these letters in it, and then you just kind of keep going down until you figure it out.
Think of a boxer's nickname.
Wow, Lloyd, what are you doing right now?
What?
This isn't very sweet what you're doing right now, man. This is not okay.
You guys are all hitting right around it. So are Wordle right now?
I think people would get a little upset, yeah. Should we do a thing where we announce the Wordle word of the day at the beginning of every show?
Well, I'm sure,
that's going to get a lot of hate.
I feel like that would drive people away from the show. And we want to bring people to it because people like it.
As we talked about today, we want to drive people to listen.
So is this a Twitter game?
It's not Twitter. Like, you can post your stats on Twitter. Like, so you can show, like, hey, guys, I got it done in four tries or three tries.
So how many tries do you get?
Six.
And how many tries is it typical that you get the word?
I'm usually in the 4 to 5 range. My wife is in the 3 to 4 range.
And there's no hints.
All you do is go to wordle.com. I can't believe I'm promoting this.
I can't.
But
either.
Everybody's on there.
I'm really shocked.
And you're right. Like, Lloyd, like, this is something I would normally make fun of. And then I did it, and now I'm kind of hooked on
this. This is something that Scotty G would find the person that's playing Wordle, give them a nice wedgie, and give them a swirly.
Get those nerds!
Don't ever do that again.
Nerds!
Don't talk about it. Don't post it. Don't do it.
Oh, look, this guy goes, hey, thanks, Hans and Scotty. My normal 20-minute daily distraction only took 2 minutes. Another guy, what the hell? I was just doing the word right now.
Oh, no.
You did this.
Nope,
this is on you.
This is you because you brought up this stupid game.
No, you did this.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to respond to these people and shame them. I'm going to be like, you've wasted too much time already.
No.
Trying to figure out
a
word.
Hey, look, if somebody has a little escape that they can spend 20 minutes a day just zoning out and working on something, a good brain exercise, I might add. I don't know. I've made
it is. It is. Anytime you're really stressing your brain to come up with a five-letter word in a period of time without any hints or tips, I hope people aren't upset over that.
Well, you got
two
people upset. Colton and Guy, or, well, actually, it's Guy on a Buffalo, so I'm not sure if that's his name. But Colton and Guy on a Buffalo, we're very sorry.
Yeah, you guys went too far.
Lloyd, stop it. You were way down the boxer. Come on.
I have a feeling that Lloyd is a six-time guy. Like, it takes him six times. And because you made the comment before we started the show where, yeah, people that take four, they're considered idiots.
Well, that's what, you know, like, I got a sneaking suspicion there's, like, a Wordle hierarchy of people, of snobs. And they're like, if you get to, like, four or five, you're a moron. Me.
Are you supposed to be able to get it in two?
I don't think anybody can get it in two, but three
is very doable.
Yeah, well, according to my wife, is very doable.
I noticed that you had two letters out of place by the time you got to your third opportunity to predict the word.
Yes.
You had two letters guessed that were out of place, and you're supposed to figure out where those go in a word and guess the five-letter
yeah.
word?
Yeah.
Scotty, I'm gonna tell you right now. Get away from this game, man. As fast as you can get away from it.
I don't know, man. It's kind of fun.
Run.
It's just a little outlet every day.
A ditty.
Yeah.
It's a little ditty.
I think you should do it. Just do it tomorrow.
All right, I'm going to try this.
Well, not to.
S.
Stop it.
Yeah. Wow.
You get more people mad at us.
I won't do today's word. So you really want me to try this? I'll try it if you decide.
Lloyd, give it a shot.
To push your glasses on and throw in your pocket protector and give it a whirl.
Put that little scotch tape in between your broken glasses and let's do this.
Everybody clap okay. your hands.
Everybody.
I'm not even kidding, though. When the nerds came out on stage and played that, like, yes.
Yeah.
They were cool, man. And for just a minute, I want to be a nerd.
Nah, I don't know.
You gotta admit, those nerds had a blast in that movie.
They did.
Everybody, let's play some Wordle.
I hate all of you.
Five letters.
Clap your hands.
Five letters.
Everybody.
Oh, man. We've got to get some audio of Scotty saying something and throw it on behind this music.
Hey, and by the way, you talk about swear words. And how I swear on the show, we got to talk about what you did yesterday.
Now, that was a five-letter word.
That was a five-letter word that you dropped on the air yesterday. And I might add, again, let me just reiterate, had that been me, we never would have ended. Like, I don't want you to ever talk about how you're the victim on this show. You're so picked on. I got bludgeoned. Anytime I come close to even sounding like I said a bad word, I get hammered on this show. You actually drop a bomb on the air yesterday, and we just like pretend like, oh, nothing happened.
Well, let's not call it a bomb, because it wasn't a bomb.
On accident. Yeah, it was purely by mistake. I was trying to say bench, and it just came out the wrong way.
Oh, really? So, like, somebody says shirt. And says it the wrong way. And so we're just okay with that, too, then?
No, because you said we've got a bunch of
shirts.
Well, that isn't what you said, but.
Oh, but was it what I meant to say?
I can't remember.
See?
Because
here's the thing.
The way.
Our hypocrisy knows no bounds on this show.
I feel like I've already taken enough heat for this. I feel like I've suffered enough.
I think even remotely. We haven't even replayed it.
I know, because I actually said the word.
Well, because Lloyd, even though I've never said a word on this show,
whoa,
Lloyd beats it out and makes it sound like I do say a word.
No, you have.
No, I have not.
And the check swing you made on dropping the big bomb was unbelievable.
Hey, by the way, so, you know, I watch Judge Judy every day. Every
yes,
day.
We know.
We know.
And she's now on, I don't know if it's Prime or Netflix or whatever it is. But
can binge.
My kids have it dialed up. No, it's new episodes. So she left networking and went over to streaming. And so I watch her new episodes. But anyway, so she's dealing with a dog breeder. And this was when she was on network. She's dealing with a dog breeder. And she used that word like 10 times. But, you know, did it in a formal matter, talking about dogs.
She knew what she was doing.
Yeah, because the way she was saying it was like she was aggressively getting after that, you know. So, I apologize. I think we can all learn from this. I apologize. We can all learn.
You need to send out an email to the staff.
I can't believe that terrible word came out of my sweet mouth. What are you laughing about?
Look, even Maddie's laughing at that. Got sailors over here like, oh, geez, hands, maybe I ought to dial it down a bit.
Can you not tweet at people and tell them that this is on me and Lloyd?
It is on you.
You brought up Wordle. Lloyd and I don't know the severity of saying the word.
At no point did I say, hey, guys, I know what we're going to start the show with today. Let's talk about Wordle.
Yeah, we didn't know people get upset about this stuff. I didn't even have any idea.
I didn't know. No. I didn't know.
Well, now you know.
Now we do know. I'm going to give it a try just because there's something to it, because my guy, who is not a geek, who's not a dork, is not a nerd.
I appreciate that.
The first thing he did when he got to work today, hey, and really leaned over. I mean, you were like, hey.
Well, I actually thought Maddie would be involved, but Maddie doesn't play it either.
Hey, do you and Maddie?
Here's the thing. I thought you would have seen all this stuff, all these little green and yellow dots on Twitter, and I thought you would want to know what it was about. And I did a little research and found out, so I thought I was sharing. Okay, Lloyd killed it.
Is that how you got into this?
Yeah. Well,
you saw the dots and you were like,
That and my wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she loves this game?
Well, I mean, yeah.
All right.
Because she's really smart and good at stuff like this.
I'll try it tomorrow. What time do I start on this?
A new word hits at midnight, so you can wait till midnight.
Oh, it's midnight.
Yeah.
Oh, they make it a big reveal.
See,
huh?
Like, look, you go on the website right now, and you say, "I want," like, you're ready to play, and they're like, "No, you have to wait 11 hours and 45 minutes."
It gives you a countdown.
A countdown until the next.
So if you get this quick, Hans, you can ruin it for people early.
Yeah, I suggest what you do is at midnight, figure out the word, and then tweet it out. You're like, "Hey, guys. Today's word is blank."
Would people like that, or would they hate that?
Oh, I bet they'd really love it coming from you.
Well, I'll give it a try.
I think they would enjoy that a great deal.
Hey, you just mentioned when you pulled in that there, and you pulled up to the table here, that there, you saw some breaking news. Sean Payton's leaving.
Sean Payton,
the NFL,
is stepping down from the NFL. 15 years as the Saints coach, 152 wins, won 63% of his games, won a Super Bowl, 7 NFC South titles. Was the top 5 in total offense 11 times.
And he's walking away.
Walking away. Apparently,
they're not firing him.
No, not firing. And he is stepping down. A lot of people believe he's going to slip right into the broadcast booth. Amazon apparently is going all in on some NFL games. And apparently Troy Aikman's being rumored on going over and being part of the joining Al Michaels. As apparently Al Michaels is getting back into the NFL booth. So they're thinking of an Al Michaels Troy Aikman booth, and then, or a Al Michaels Tony Romo booth. Oh. And then Sean Payton will take over for whoever one of those guys leaves.
Amazon, huh? The book club? I know.
Do I need to explain what Amazon is?
I know they've branched out.
A little bit, yeah.
They've dabbled.
You've seen those boxes on your doorstep.
So are they going to buy NFL rights and do a private broadcast? Or?
Well, they already have a couple games, and I think now they want to do. But they've been simulcasting, and I think now they want to originate their own broadcast.
Interesting. Well, good luck to Sean. He was a heck of a coach. He put together some really good teams.
Well, he was coaching there when you were with the Voodoo, right?
Yeah, he was.
Because a lot of people know him and how he was able to help them transition that team out of Katrina.
Yeah. He was, had a lot of respect even at the time. He went through some really strange things. The Bounty Gate, I felt like that was going to take him down. Was the Bounty Gate was his deal, right?
Yeah, he had to sit out. Didn't he sit out a whole year?
I think he was suspended for a whole year through that whole thing, and I think that's where this movie's coming out. I think Johnny Knoxville plays him.
No, I think it's Mall Cop, Paul Blart.
No.
Yeah.
Kevin James?
Yeah. Yeah, look, that's a screenshot from the movie right there.
Oh, that's already failed. You can't put Kevin James in as, not that Johnny Knoxville would have been much better, but.
Well, I do think there's a certain level of body type that Sean Payton probably wasn't thrilled with. Like, hey, you know, you always want to know who's going to be cast as the movie version of you. And you're like, okay, is it going to be, you know, Clooney? Pitt, like, no, who we have is Kevin James.
It's Chris Farley.
Like, whoa.
What?
Wait, what?
Kevin James as Sean Payton. Is that released, or is that just?
I don't know. I don't know.
And by the way, this movie is about the year that Sean Payton served on suspension, he coached his son's football team?
Yes.
And that's about all I know about it.
Yeah. Let's see here. The movie's called Home Team. I do know. Oh, taking the field January 28th. So it'll be coming out here in a couple days.
Sean Payton as an analyst, does that excite you?
No. No.
He seems like he's kind of a boring guy.
Well, I mean, there's not a lot of guys out there that, like, Romo was interesting there at first, but has there ever been like a, you know what? What's going to be really cool is I want to hear this guy call a game. I'm really interested to hear his analysis. Like, there's not a lot of guys out there that get really fired up like, ooh, and he's calling the game too. Got to watch this.
No, but I don't know if it's a popular thing or not, but I do love Tony Romo. I love him. He's one of my favorite analysts.
Yeah, I do too. But it's not like – it's not must – I'm like, I'm going to watch a game regardless. It's an added bonus if Tony Romo's on the call, but it's not something that I am, like, seeking out. Like, well,
no.
What game is Romo doing? I'm going to watch that game.
No, I've never – ever sought an analyst. I seek games, and then if it's got an analyst, it's always just kind of like, okay.
Now, play-by-play guys, I'll pay a little bit more attention to, just because, like Gus Johnson and some of these guys, that Kevin Harlan, they're fun to hear call a game. So, you know, that might be a little...
Tony Romo's as good as it gets, though, in my opinion. So good. Collinsworth has been in the booth for a lot of years.
Long time.
And I saw they've got – is that his son that's working sidelines now for the postseason?
Yes, yeah. Nepotism's always alive and well.
I always thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
You know who stinks? Sims' son.
Oh, yeah.
He's the worst.
That guy keeps getting jobs, man.
That whole show. And I love – I still have a lot of respect for Coach Dungy. But that whole show, that whole three – the three of them, it's just – do people like that show?
No, I don't think so. Like, there's only one studio show that I will go out of my way to find, and that's Inside the NBA.
That's it.
And everybody's tried to replicate it, whether it be in the NBA or NFL or whatever the case. And you just can't – like, there's only one Charles Barkley. There's not a football version of Charles Barkley.
There's only one Ernie.
Yeah, like you
Ernie
can't,
does a masterful job of setting those guys up. And
like, it's just a perfect combination of talent. Like, I remember when remember when Pardon the Interruption came out, and I still love Pardon the Interruption. Wilbon and I forget the other guy's name, but
Kornheiser.
Like, when they came out, I'm like, wow, this is a different show. This is really cool. This is really cool chemistry. And everybody started to try to replicate that. You just can't. Like, you have to have this certain level of personalities and chemistry to make something like that work.
So I was just smashing my mind trying to think, why do I love Inside the NBA so much? Because you know, as a broadcaster, you start to think of elements, and you're like, okay, well, what are they doing that I love so much? The comedy is one thing. Obviously, them playing and being athletes is one thing. The comedy is one thing. But there was one thing that I kind of came across as I was thinking about it. They're not always accurate. In fact,
rarely are they accurate.
They're pretty rarely, you know, dead on the money.
Yeah.
But what I do believe is I am getting their original –
yes.
Their original take on what's happening, and it's not filtered.
100%.
And in this business, it is so difficult to do that. You know, when Charles Barkley went after the Lakers, and we played that audio of Barkley talking about the embarrassment that the Lakers are, and it's the front office, and then Ernie was like, we've got to go to an interview. We got a guy sitting on a headset. And he said, yeah, well, the Lakers are still going to suck when we get back from this interview. And then they finish up the interview. He doesn't even comment on the guy he interviewed. He just goes
right back into the Lakers.
Well, anyway, so the Lakers, you know, and you just know that you're going to get their very organic, very unfiltered take, whether it's right or wrong. And sometimes, you know, I've found in my world as trying to analyze sports, sometimes I find myself filtering the take out of fear of some of the response. You know, out of fear, out of some of the fallout, you start wondering, man, if I call this guy out, like, I've got some real issues with the Jazz today. Like,
yeah.
But I have to stop myself, and I have to say, all right, is that take going to come back and bite you? You know, if you call out so-and-so and so-and-so and all these guys that are on the sideline, is it going to come back and bite you? Because a lot of times it does, because then those guys get back on the court, they run and they win a championship, and – or they win some big games in the postseason, people are like, see, you overreacted. And they're right. Sometimes we get caught up in the moment. We say what we say in the moment, and then a month down the road, you're like, geez, that didn't work out so well. Yeah. And those guys don't care. They don't care. They give you what's on top of their mind just like that.
And if it's wrong eventually, then they'll be like, they make fun of each other like, boy, were you wrong.
Yeah. And so to Lloyd's point, the Sims guy, I watch him. First of all, they keep him very short.
Yeah.
But I watch him analyze everything that goes through his head. He doesn't say things off the top of his mind. Charles, Shaq, Kenny not as much. Those guys just say it right as it comes to their mind. And that is full entertainment. Hard for them to deal with, I'm sure, at times.
Well, and also, too, it's interesting because Charles Barkley's got some level of Teflon to him where he has said some things that would get 98% of analysts fired. But because Charles Barkley has some Teflon to him, and God bless him, I don't know how he does it, but, you know, you and I say half the things he says, we're done.
Done.
You know, even other former players say half the thing, they're done. But Charles is Charles and can get away with it.
Yep.
I mean, he was – what was the fan base? Was it Oklahoma City or – I can't remember. He's like, you know, the women there, blah, yeah, blah, blah, you know. And it's like, oh, my gosh, what are you doing?
Yeah, what is the city he goes after all the time, Lloyd?
Is it Milwaukee?
It might be Milwaukee. Yeah, and he gets attacked and he's like, oh, come on, you know what I'm talking
about. What are you going to do about it?
You know what I'm talking about. Stop taking my words out of context. Yeah. Speaking of the Jazz, Scotty, I say we jump off, talk about them a little bit.
Yeah, we got to go to break. We'll come back, and we spend too much time talking about Wordle. That's our bad.
I'm embarrassed.
We'll do better. Coming up next, though, Jazz with another loss last night. Anything you can take away from that game, we'll break it down next. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. That's Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. Come by, hang out with us. Remember the forever warranty. 0% financing. There's so many reasons why you need to be coming down here and shopping for your new vehicle. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Good luck next week, Warriors, Suns, and Suns. Wow.
Good times, right?
Right?
Good times. The schedule is what it is, but what better time to really put our team to the test? And if we're not going to lock in, you're about to get punched in the face a couple more times, so you've got to be ready. And if we're not ready, it'll quite clearly show against these next few teams. In the past, we've been a bit more lackadaisical against teams we're supposed to win, quote-unquote, yeah, and bring it against teams that were better than us or ranked higher than us. We're not going to just walk in and beat any team in this league, and I think that's quite clearly shown recently. We need to be better, and we know that, and yeah, we've got to be ready to go.
Oh yeah.
Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Bisnack Miyamo came off the bench for 30 minutes and had 21 points and 13 rebounds. How about that line for Bismack Biyombo?
I think it's something else, yeah. I didn't think you said something else. You did say something else.
That's why we can't play it.
No, we can play it with a beep. We're all right there.
I don't appreciate it. Are you happy now? Look.
I'm very happy now. Actually, I'm very happy.
How about that line for Bismack?
How about
It's a lot of B's, man. Bismack Biyombo's bench line.
Just saying it happens to the best of us.
Say it three times fast. Bismack Biyombo's bench line. It's tough.
Hey, by the way, during the break, we watched the trailer for the Kevin James, Sean Payton movie. And, that looks about as good as you would expect it to look from a Kevin James straight-to-Netflix movie.
If you were to just take Grown Ups and turn it into a film about Sean Payton's life, that's basically what this movie is. It's got Taylor Lautner, Kevin James, Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider.
And I'm pretty sure the two girls that they showed in that were in Grown Ups as well. So
I think this is why Sean Payton's retiring, because this movie's coming out in like 2 days. And he's like, I don't want to answer any questions about this. I'm done.
I'm going to go
hide. Can we have the press conference before this movie comes out? I'm
going to go hide until this thing all blows over. Oh, that's funny. Scotty, Utah Jazz lose again last night. And no big surprise, Rudy Gobert off the court, Donovan Mitchell off the court, Bojan Bogdanovic off the court, Joe Ingles off the court, Mike Conley off the court, Royce O'Neal off the court. I don't even know who they had on the court. I mean, you know, we watched some of the guys that were out there, and I know that the Jazz are trying to get bits and pieces and make it through this, but I'm struggling at times. I'll be honest. I'm struggling at times to kind of stay on this. And I'm sure Jazz fans are too.
All right, so struggling with – because obviously that roster last night was not a roster intended to do or expected to win an NBA game on the road against a top four team in the West, right?
Yep.
So, we're not coming here to bury Daniel House and his effort last night. I thought it was good.
Nope, yes.
Like, it's a matter of – I don't know. It just seems like the Bojan Bogdanovic injury seems real. Concussions are real, but boy, it just seems like, I don't know, man. Everybody's got to be out at the same time.
I don't know how this is working out, because was there a single COVID-related sitting yesterday?
Oh, great question.
I know that we've been blaming things on COVID.
I don't think so. Let me find the injury report here.
And I know, just listening to the post game, there were a couple comments of COVID this and COVID that, and it's hit us late.
No, everybody, Bojan, left finger, Ingles, right ankle, Royce, right knee tendonitis, Conley, right knee injury maintenance, Rudy Gobert, left calf strain, Donovan Mitchell, concussion protocol. Not a single player was unavailable due to COVID.
I can't figure out what the genesis of this is. I don't know exactly what the angle is, the rest or whatever it is, but this stretch, this 10-game stretch where the Jazz are 2-8 through these 10 games, it's almost unbearable. It's, and a lot of it has been COVID-related, whether they had it or were close to it, or, but last night, there was no COVID relation. And I look at the guys in the stands and I wonder who could go and who can't. And then I have to ask myself, wait a second, Hans, are you getting caught up in, well, there's 82 games and people paid their tickets and they deserve to see Bojan Bogdanovic and Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Are you getting caught up in that? Because here in a couple of months, that isn't going to be the worrying concern. The worrying concern is this team ready for postseason play?
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And the Suns, you know, Ayton was out, Crowder was out, Kaminsky was out, Campaign was out, you know. So there's – that's, but, you know, Chris Paul's still there. Devin Booker's still there.
Yeah, and doing damage.
And doing considerable damage. And I think
Chris Paul put up a season high last night, didn't he?
And I love how the Jazz guys in the reserves fought their butts off in that game last night. Just kind of ran out of gas coming down the stretch. But – I just look at it from a wonder if everybody's putting their eggs in the basket of the postseason, which they should. You know, you're there to win a championship. Are we really deeming the regular season as meaningless as it seems as of late? Because I'm saying it's not just a Jazz thing. Everybody's doing it.
I feel like the regular season, to the teams that are contending teams, has been deemed unnecessary. I also think that it's being used as a developmental ground, because we did see a lot of Jazz players on the court last night that did some really good things. You know, there were I'm fascinated. Trent Forrest at times is a fascinating player to me. So there are players on the court that do good things in those moments. But I do feel, to a large extent, it's kind of like, well, this is developmental time. This is our form of the G League. We get 10-day contracts galore because of the COVID thing. So we can mix and match, and we can move and market, and we can change things around and look at different lineups. And, you know, they're still, what are they, 14 games above, let's see.
30 and 18 are they now?
So 12.
Yeah, 12 games over
12 500. Games above 500. So, you know, they're still sitting just fine in the West, and I kind of feel like
they're – And maybe that's fine. They're just
looking like this is chess. It's chess.
And maybe that's okay. It's just a different world than the league that you and I grew up in with. And I'm not saying John and Carl playing 82 games. Obviously, 82 games is an unrealistic number. And if you're hurt, you're hurt, and you shouldn't play. I'm 100% with that. It just feels – and again, if I'm wrong, if I'm based on this, then fine, I'll own it. It just feels like there is a general vibe of, hey, we know we're good. We know we're going to be in the playoffs. How really important is the regular season?
Yeah. Well, let's just take a look at the not just the starters, but also the stars of the two teams last night. And you mentioned the names. I'll count them. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Bojan Bogdanovic, Joe Ingles, Mike Conley, Royce O'Neal, Cameron Payne, DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder. Am I missing anybody on the Suns side?
Campaign.
I got Cam in there.
Did you get him in there? Okay. I think you got everybody.
So that's nine.
Yeah.
That's nine guys. You can't – and I know that the Jazz guys – hold on. Cameron Payne, right wrist sprain. DeAndre Ayton, right ankle sprain. Jay Crowder, right wrist contusion. So not a single one of the nine that I just mentioned were COVID-related.
No.
So obviously – teams are taking advantage of what they have in front of them right now. And I know that the Suns played Chris Paul for – he had 40 – what did he get?
Chris Paul played 40 minutes last night. Devin Booker played 38 minutes last night. Because they had to.
Yeah, because they had to. And you know, they really pressed him. And holy cow, Chris Paul in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Well, are you kidding me? His fourth quarter was unbelievable. 15 points.
He's a rebound away from a triple-double.
Yeah, 14 assists.
27, 14, and 9.
Chris Paul was ridiculous. But the Chris Paul in the fourth quarter was stunning. And so I still take away those things. And Devin Booker through three quarters was entertaining and fun to watch. And, you know, watching some of the youth on the Jazz. But, you know, that's why you got the stars.
Yeah.
People are going to stop going to the stars because they can come to the Jazz game and they can see about the same personnel.
Chris Paul's looking over at that sideline, or looking at the, and like, I can't, I'm not losing to these guys. Not. We're not going to be the team that loses to a bunch of reserves.
Oh, I promise you that was on his mind. In fact, I saw, I believe it was Jared Butler's father tweeted out a picture of Jared with Chris Paul.
Yeah. And Jared looks like he's 7 years old.
He just looks like he's, you know, this cute little dude getting ready to watch Ninja Mutant Turtles. And you got Chris Paul, who looks like he's in his first year of maybe the NBA.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know, maybe just going in and call. I don't know. But Chris Paul's not going to lose to that guy.
No. No.
So I'm sure that there's a lot of frustration going on out there around Jazzland. And we are seeing what we would believe is the Jazz underachieving. But what we're actually seeing is the Jazz are not playing the team that we're going to see come postseason, come first series.
And the thing that concerns me about that is ultimately, can you flip the switch? When it's February, March, you're like, all right, now's the time to, you know, let's get this thing going. It's time to ramp up. Can you really flip the switch?
Well, so there was a stretch before all of this went down, this losing 10 of the last 8, or sorry, 8 of the last 10. There was a stretch where you beat the Spurs, the Trailblazers on the road. You beat the Mavericks. You had a win against the Timberwolves. You had a nice stretch there. And then there was another stretch before that where you got – a win against the 76ers, a win against the Wizards on the road. You had a win against the Clippers, obviously without their superstar. But you've got a sample size of the team that we expect to see in the postseason in those stretches that when we watched in those stretches, we weren't talking about this. We were talking about this is a contending team. You know, they're battling for the 2 seed right now. They're battling for the best record in the NBA right now. And then we've got this where I put together a list. I went through seven games and the lineups and the changes and the players that were out. And it's not a big surprise knowing who's off the court, what their record is through that stretch. It's not a big surprise.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, Scotty. Is it just not that important? Does Adam Silver need to get a hold of things? But he can't through a COVID.
No.
You can't because the COVID year gives teams carte blanche.
Yeah.
It gives them a free-for-all.
Yep.
Not a single one of these guys had COVID. Not a single one of these were in safety protocol. There were just a bunch of knick-knack injuries.
I don't think, look, no, nothing's changing because we've gotten to a point now where, you know, we talked about this yesterday. There was when San Antonio really started to go into load management, everybody lost their mind and everybody was upset about it. Now I think everybody's just like, hey, this is what we do. This is what the league is now. Guys play when they're ready. Kawhi Leonard plays when Kawhi Leonard wants to play. Paul George plays when he wants to play. The Brooklyn Nets' entire roster plays when they want to play.
At some point, don't they need to get a hold of their product? At some point, don't they need to grip back onto their product and say, wait a second, there's something valuable that we bring to our fans when we put our max contract guys on the court? Or have they lost? Because remember, there were fines that were rolled out a couple of years after the Spurs started this resting thing. Remember, there was a fine system.
Because the Spurs really flaunted it. They just put, you know, rest. Like, you know, they're just like, yeah, we're doing this. And now teams are still doing it. They're just jumping through the hoops.
Listing little injuries.
Yeah.
And I wonder, is ownership okay with it? Is management? Because they know the real story.
I think people are fine with it because they know that ultimately it's about winning a title. So as long as you're a contending team and you have that carrot dangled out in front of you, like this team can win a title, then I think everybody's okay with it because the fans can rationalize it by saying, okay, but it's for the greater good.
Well, you talked about this yesterday, which is, well, then that places a higher importance on how you do in the postseason. A first-round exit for the Jazz this season would be high-level unacceptable.
Yeah. And so I think
because you did everything through management, and Jazz fans suffered through some ugly stretches in this season. For you to get to this point, and if it's a first-round exit, it's like, wait a second, who made those decisions? Who made us suffer through this regular season?
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's a bit of suffering going on here.
Yeah.
Bit of suffering for Jazz fans.
Yeah.
And there's another part of me. It's like, are people losing interest?
Well, ratings are solid. They're not great, but they're solid. Like, I think people are still...
They're hanging in?
Are still hanging in there.
So people tuned in yesterday to watch Jordan Clarkson, Daniel House?
I don't know what the individual ratings were on that.
I'm just saying, I wonder.
That's a question. I don't know.
You know, because that lineup and what we saw on the court throughout the evening was unlike anything you'd ever seen. And it is a different mix of match. And maybe Jazz fans do like that. Maybe they like to see some of the up-and-coming talent. You are figuring out depth. You are finding guys that you trust to take a shot, that you trust to take minutes. I will tell you that. If there's anything you can take from it, the Jazz are having opportunity to see how you defend a backcourt of Chris Paul and Booker.
Yep. Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. 1246, take a break, come back. What you may have missed right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
The rules in any sport are not perfect, but I love it when teams go right to let's blame the rules and forget about the rest of the darn game. Remember that what was a perceived pass interference call with the Saints game that they wouldn't shut up about for 2 years?
Right.
We get focused on, oh, the rules are bad. No, they're not. You're bad.
Yeah, correct. Again, so many of the things can be fixed by just making the stop.
For people today to be like, change the overtime rules, you're ignoring badness decisions. You're ignoring bad play. Look at them letting Kansas City score with 13 seconds left to go, them throwing it to Travis Kelce. Of course they're going to throw it to Travis Kelce. Correct. You're not guarding that guy?
Yes.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Thanks for making us part of your day as we are live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. What you may have missed, brought to you by Built Bar. Go to Built.com, get 10% off your order right now using the promo code ZONE. Get those Built Bars in you. They are delicious. How'd you say it today? They are tasty.
They are tasty. I do eat a lot of Built Bars.
I do too.
No big surprise here. We had, Scotty, the largest audience for an NFL divisional playoff game in the last 5 years. Would you like to take a guess at which one of Saturday or Sunday's game drew the most?
Well, I would think that as the game went on, probably that Kansas City-Buffalo game really ratcheted up the numbers.
You nailed it. 42.7 million viewers on average. 42.7 million on average. Most watched in the last 5 years.
This is why
years.
People are fighting over the NFL. This is the NFL reigns supreme in live television.
So think about this. They did a little bit of market research in Kansas City. They did some market research. During the fourth quarter of that game, 90% of every television set in Kansas City was turned to that game.
Run that by me again.
In the fourth quarter, 90% of every television set in Kansas City was tuned into that game.
I'd love that.
90%.
That is awesome.
So 42.7 million. The next was the Rams and Tampa Bay, 38.1 million. After that, San Francisco, Green Bay at 36.9 million. And then Cincinnati, Tennessee at 30.8 million. If you compare that to 2021, your lowest in 2021 was Baltimore Buffalo at 26 million. And if you compare that to 2020, your lowest was at 29 million. Minnesota San Francisco was at 29 million. Not in the last few years in comparison have you broke 40 million. And Buffalo Kansas City ran right past it. So the NFL is alive. It is very well. The second and third most rated games of the weekend, Scotty,
yeah,
still outnumbered the first rated game in 2021 and 2019. So you take the number one rated game in 2019, the number one rated game in 2020, they still don't hit the numbers that the third rated game hit in 2022. So the games were brilliant. There's no doubt about it. The games are brilliant, and I think a lot of people, you know, they watch their social media or they get a buddy that texts them and say, you got to watch this, man.
Yeah.
They can't stop Josh Allen. They can't stop him. And then somebody flips in and they're seeing a fourth down conversion. Maybe they don't even know what that is, but they're seeing the excitement of it and they're tuned in. It's just 42.7 million viewers on a game. It's hard to believe that the NFL controls what they can control.
Well, when we were growing up, you know, you'd watch MASH or whatever, and satellite or cable wasn't a big thing then, and so you got what the networks gave you. And they could deliver a show, they could put, you know, Who's the Boss on, and it would get, you know, 35 million people because there wasn't a lot of options. Now there's so many different options out there, but the one thing that brings people together is live sports. And you're right. Look, I'm watching that game regardless, but there's a lot of times on a random Tuesday or Wednesday night, and I'll be flicking through Twitter and I'll see, there's a random MAC game between Buffalo and Toledo that's like 53-51 with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and you're like, huh, I want to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that. Like, live sports delivers so much value to networks. There's no reason why. I mean, there's no wonder why people are fighting like crazy for it. And the asking price for the NFL and college football, especially Power 5 conferences, what they're asking for is just ridiculous.
It's just ridiculous.
And they'll continue to get that money.
Okay, so I want to just provide a little bit of perspective on this, all right? So I just pulled up this story from Forbes, and this was last year. It came out July 21st, 2021, and it talked about the NBA ratings. And it says, heading into the NBA Finals, the 73-game playoffs that were on ABC, ESPN, and TNT averaged 3.7 million viewers. So I'm just comparing the NFL playoff games that lead up to the Super Bowl. These are the NBA playoff games that lead up to the NBA Finals. Averaged 3.7 million. I don't know what the average is on this, but it would be somewhere in the 37 million range, 36 or 37 million range for the NFL.
Yep.
3.7 to the NBA to 37 to the NFL.
College football games are kicking the crap out of NBA games.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is I'm floored. I guess I'm not like overly surprised because the NFL delivers content that even the best Hollywood producer can't write.
I know. You can't write a script over what we saw the other night.
You can't.
People would be like, this is ridiculous. This is never
13 seconds. Yeah, somebody's going to go down the field in 13 seconds. But we're watching it in reality. I mean, sometimes it hits levels that people get so into their conspiracy theories that they believe that somebody's not working the clock right or that the officials are in on it. You know, there are some crazy football fans out there that think the officials have something out for their team. You know, they actually think that the officials have put something together to try to bring their team down over a 10-year period.
Anybody who thinks that there's some random meeting where the officials are getting together and saying, we're purposely going to make calls against that team, you need to have your head checked. Because you're either drinking something or consuming too many snow cones. I don't know what the case is, but you got to dial that stuff down.
Yeah, right. You knock it off.
There are those people out there. I know some.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
We don't know anybody that'd be like that.
No, I actually know one. Actually, I know one personally.
Bruce?
Nope. Even he wouldn't be that crazy.
Oh, Bruce would too. What are you talking about?
Even Bruce is like, whoever that guy is needs to dial it down a little bit.
Jazz fan Bruce thinks you're crazy. But 42.7 million viewers. It's an astronomical number. To put that many eyeballs on a TV.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We're live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. Love coming down here. Love these guys because they care about you. They want you to be in a vehicle that you're proud to drive, that you love to drive, and that you can drive safely as well. And to do so, they're going to get you in a vehicle, 0% financing. They're going to get you in a vehicle that has a forever warranty. That means as long as you drive it, as you know, many miles you put on it, it's going to be covered. They've got you taken care of. And that is all brought to you for free. It's a forever warranty that the Tim Daly family is providing for you. You need to come down and check it out. Plus, these Nissans, man, they're incredible, including that new Frontier and Pathfinder redesigned from the ground up. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. The Hands of Scotty Show presented to you by You First See You. Hands, new name, but still the same decades of great service. But You First See You, presenting sponsor of the Hands and Scotty Show.
And very much a part of the Utah County communities.
Yes.
They're out there in Saratoga Springs. They're out there in Eagle Mountain. They're making things very easy and very convenient for me because the bank that I used to bank with is not out in that area.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah, I feel like we got every bank but the bank I used to bank with.
So there you go, folks. You'll find a branch near you, youfirstcu.com. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.